From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Meanwhile, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. He began to speak first to his disciples, "Beware of the leaven that is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that can do no more. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they take you before synagogues and before rulers and authorities, do not worry about how or what your defense will be, or about what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what you should say. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus will it be for one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God." He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Notice the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more important are you than birds? Can any of you, by worrying, add a moment to your lifespan? If even the smallest things are beyond your control, why are you anxious about the rest? Notice how the flowers grow. They do not toil or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass in the field, that grass grows today and is thrown in the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? As for you, do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not worry any more. All the nations of the world seek for these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek the kingdom, and these other things will be given you besides. Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven, that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants upon whom the master, those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. The words of the Holy Gospel. You and I see reality as through cataracts. But Jesus, in this chapter from St. Luke, is trying to remove those cataracts so that we can see reality as God sees it. Ourselves, our neighbors, the rest of the world, even God himself. The leaven of the Pharisees is the hypocrisy that they and we have lurking deep in our hearts. The insidious hidden vices and voices. I'm a good Catholic. I go to Mass and confession regularly. I slander my neighbor. I gossip. I ignore the poor. I go partying. Just some examples, but you see the point. We're all susceptible to it. These secret little crevices in our hearts where we hide these vices, even from ourselves. The Lord tells us that they will be revealed at the end of time. God knows them already, sees them already. Whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, he says. All the ways that even in the silence of my heart, I've nurtured grudges and resentments against my family, my roommates, my bosses or coworkers, all of these will be exposed at the final judgment. We keep these resentments to ourselves, or we share them with sympathetic friends who will just encourage us in our resentment, perhaps, because we fear that when the people we hold them against, we fear what the people we hold resentments against will think if we express them. We fear that they will chide us, maybe, from being overly sensitive or overly selfish. And we know deep in our hearts that they're right. But the Lord tells us here not to fear the people who can kill the body or slander us or make fun of us or humiliate us in front of others. These are the people that we want to be respected by. But we should instead fear the devil, who blinds us to our hidden vices, who keeps us from seeing reality as God sees it, keeps us with cataracts in our eyes. One way in particular that he does this is by keeping us from recognizing, from understanding how known and seen and loved and affirmed we are by God. God sees all the little birds, the ravens, the sparrows, and even the pigeons. And he knows how many strands of hair there are on your head and on my head. And we're worth so much more to him than all of these little minuscule things that he knows and counts individually and loves particularly. So don't be anxious, he says, about how you're going to survive life. Don't be anxious about how you're going to witness to Christ, to your friends and your coworkers. Your Father in heaven will take care of that. And when you're weak and you fall, when you fail to live up to the high standards that he has set for you, yes, that's right, because he trusts you and he believes in you, you run back to him and he opens his arms and embraces you. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, as long as he asks. But what is unforgivable is to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, to believe, or rather to not believe, in the tremendous mercy that God has for you. To say, I'm worthless, he won't take me back, I've sinned too greatly. Despair is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Not to recognize that he always does take us back. To beat yourself up and think badly about yourself. These are how we see the world through cataracts, to see reality not as it actually is. But when we become convicted that God will take care of us in each of these trials, then we won't worry about how to get up the courage to, for instance, witness to Christ in the workplace or at the bar. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. But you don't see that. Just like you don't see fully, at least, that you and me are the rich fool in the parable who stores up this world's goods but neglects to prepare your soul for heaven. Instead, we should be, he says, like servants with lighted lamps waiting for our boss to come home for a wedding reception. We don't know what time he's going to roll in, but we've got to be there to receive him, so we've just got to wait. We don't know when the Lord will demand our lives from us. But if we allow him to remove our blindness, we will at least see clearly that it could honestly be any second, and we have to be ready for it. This life is the one chance that we've got. And is heaven really not worth that extra pay raise? These are all of the ways in general that we're blind to reality, that we don't see things as God sees them. It's part of the fallout of original sin. But to change the metaphor a bit from cataracts to cancer, we have the radiation therapy we need right here. Gazing on the Eucharistic face of Jesus, this is what opens our eyes. Fidget, though we might want to, bored as we might get in front of him, simply sitting with him and gazing at him, this is how he burns away the cancer from our eyes. And it could be a slow and painful process sometimes, but this is the way.